You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
After a tough week one loss to the Los Angeles Rams, it's really easy for us to get fired up and excited and angry and upset and all the full range of emotions about, you know, what the Bears need to change for week two and what the rest of the season is going to hold based off of what we saw out of that first game. But it is important to remember that a lot of strange things happen in week one that don't always end up applying toward the rest of the season, and certainly the Chicago Bears are not overreacting themselves to what we saw in the field Sunday night. This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter, at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook, join the Locked On Bears Facebook group for more Bears talk, and make sure to subscribe to the Locked On Bears YouTube channel to keep up with all of our video podcasts as well. On the show today, we'll hear Chicago Bears head coach Matt Nagy reflect a little bit on the week one loss. We'll hear about Andy Dalton and the overwhelmingly short passing game and how much of that was intentional, how much of that was the Rams, how much of that was Andy Dalton, how much of that was the play calling, and kind of get into where Justin Fields might fit into that equation as well. Then we'll look at this Bears defense and some of the big explosive plays that they gave up and how, first of all, where to put the blame, how much to be mad about and how much to just, you know, move on to the next thing and try not to worry about it being a bigger overwhelming trend for a defense that we've seen play much better than that on the whole over the last few seasons. And then we'll wrap up with one of the more strange, interesting, and somehow funny stories of the start of the week, of Matt Nagy appearing in an actual McDonald's ad that I thought was Photoshopped, but we'll kind of go through that and some of the humor behind it and just why it kind of feels like a bad look just the whole way it was put together. But let's start with the Rams-Bears game. We'll start with some real football before we get into some of the more fun stuff at the end. And of course, now we've kind of had a day to digest what we saw from Andy Dalton and even to a lesser extent, Justin Fields. And, you know, it was not a stellar Andy Dalton performance. I mean, barely over 200 yards, no touchdowns, the interception, a decent completion percentage. But I think by now, most of us have kind of seen the NFL Next Gen Stats passing chart that shows all of Andy Dalton's pass attempts and how only two of them went, I think, beyond 10 or 15 yards downfield. One of them was the interception in the end zone that was tipped. The other one was the fourth or 15 float to, I think it was Darnell Mooney, that ended up falling incomplete, kind of a tough spot there with Dalton under pressure at the end of the game, just trying to make something happen on fourth down. And, you know, short passing offense, not necessarily something that's conducive to long-term success if you don't have at least something more mixed in there, right? You want your quarterback to get into a rhythm. You want to keep the ball moving. And if you're completing some of those passes, that is progress. That is, you know, something moving, but it's not necessarily enough, as we saw. It was 14 points against Los Angeles Rams, and defense is another discussion there that we'll get into in a moment. But I think for Matt Nagy, he's not going to have that short of a leash on Andy Dalton to say, well, he didn't score enough in the first game, so we're going to make some big, quick, drastic change, as much as maybe Bears fans might want to at this point with Justin Fields. But I think it is important, again, as we sort of take a step back and relax and put some weight behind it, given what we saw, but also not put all of our stock behind one performance in week one. Here's how Matt Nagy is sort of feeling about his quarterbacks to start the season.
Probably the biggest thing with that was, you know, some of the things that they do defensively, and then that guy that they got over on the other side of the ball just a little bit, he can do that, and he did it there towards the end of the game. But that doesn't mean that you can't still get explosives. We understand that. I think that's where we want to make sure that we are stretching the field vertically, and we weren't able to get to that as much. And we kind of knew going into it was going to be one of those types of games. So, you know, that's just one of those deals where we want to, moving forward, try to do everything we can to keep defenses honest going downfield. But nothing to do with Andy as much as it was more the scheme.
Can you use Justin a little more? I mean, using him, obviously you're sprinkling him in there, but maybe use him a little more for those
guys. I don't know. We'll see. You know, I think he did a good job when he was in there.
Now, for those just listening to the podcast version of this, you can't see Matt Nagy's reaction. So I highly encourage you to check out the YouTube podcast video version where you can see Matt Nagy deliver his press conference remarks there. Because at the end, when he's asked about Justin Fields, and he kindly says one of these, "I don't know, we'll see." That's, of course, a lie or a non-answer or intentionally sort of not answering the question to sort of protect strategic advantage there. But he puts this big smile on his face at the end of like, yeah, telling you without telling you that more is to come in that regard with Fields potentially opening some things up vertically. But I kind of go back and forth on Matt Nagy's answer there that, yes, it is true that the Rams defense, much like what the Bears intend and try to do with mixed results in this last game, they do play a lot of two deep safeties and try and take away some of those downfield shots, and they're very much more inclined to allow those shorter completions. We talked about this on Friday's podcast, putting together a game plan for how to beat the Rams. This is what they would want to do. They want you to check it down to the running back in the backfield or just a quick little dump off over the middle to the tight end on a drag route or whatever kind of underneath pass. They don't care if you complete it. They just know that you're not going to be able to complete it enough and get enough yards to stay ahead of the sticks over the course of a full game, and that's how it works. And so that's why you need some more of the explosive passing plays in there to try and take things to the next level. So, like, it's tough because we all knew that's what the Rams were going to do, and yet the Bears couldn't do it. And it also feels like it's letting the defense kind of dictate what you're going to do on offense. And if I'm in an ideal world, if I'm the offensive coordinator, if I'm Matt Nagy, if I'm running the Bears, no, we have to dictate what the defense is going to do in response to our offense and not the other way around. And it feels like some sort of, not admitting defeat, but conceding some amount of defensive, even like coaching or schematic advantage to say like, yeah, we couldn't stay ahead of their scheme. We had to adapt to what they did as opposed to the other way around. Knowing, yes, that Dalton has some inconsistencies in there and that they were able to move the ball somewhat on some of those drives, and maybe if they'd run the ball a little bit more and if the defense had played a little better and if that tipped pass isn't intercepted in the end zone, it's a different discussion. And you can kind of go back through and find moments to where what they were doing was having some success, but it doesn't feel ideal. And especially when you feel like you have Justin Fields that's right there that can do those things and can open up the offense to be so much more against even a Rams defense with Aaron Donald, that's where some of the frustration is. We're trying not to overreact again to week one and to say Dalton can still be better. It was his first game with his receivers. There are going to be miscommunications, and maybe you close down the playbook a little bit more to start with things that Dalton are familiar with and then build up into the more explosive, bigger things as you get going. I'm willing to still extend some benefit of the doubt in week one, but I don't know how much that lasts as we move forward into the rest of the regular season. Same kind of thing for this Bears defense. Really, really bad at the worst moments. But Matt Nagy, again, not panicking, not happy with what happened, but willing to kind of see how it goes from here. We'll hear his thoughts on particularly the big explosive plays they allowed and some of the mistakes by the safeties on the back end next on Locked On Bears. I love having football season back, and football season's been so much more exciting for me putting a little money down on these games at betonline.ag. It's the number one place for all your pro and college football action this season. They've always got the most up-to-date odds, props, and contests. Looking back at Bears-Rams, I put some money down on the under. 46.5, I think, was the point spread on that one. And for a while in that game, I thought we were right on track. It was kind of low scoring going into the halftime, but the Rams adding those three touchdowns in the second half just put us over. I think we had a 48 was the point total. Over-under was 46.5. So, right there. But that's what's so much fun about it, right? It adds a little bit more of an extra stake to this game. And betonline.ag is the place to do it, because if you sign up and use our promo code LOCKEDON, you will get a welcome bonus matching your first deposit to give you even more money to play with and win big at betonline.ag. Your online sportsbook experts. Obviously, we had somewhat higher expectations for this Bears defense to start week one. We knew the Rams offense was going to be good, right? This was not a walk in the park. The Bears were underdogs for a big reason, I mean, right? But we didn't necessarily think Stafford would have it quite so easy, right? That's the thing. It was too easy for Matthew Stafford on a couple of those touchdown throws that at least make him earn it on some of those drives. We did see some nice red zone stops. They stopped him at the one and forced the field goal a couple of times in the first half. But again, it was kind of that second half where things really started blowing open. And it's hard not to point to a couple of those blown coverage touchdowns where they got behind the safeties and it was way too easy of a completion for Stafford. And you know, when you do the math on the game, that doesn't completely undo the deficit, but it certainly changes, I think, how the Bears might handle the second half in terms of maybe running the ball a little bit more and not feeling like they're on the behind the eight ball and trying to stage a comeback and pass back into the game. And a lot of different things could have been differently had they touched Van Jefferson down after he catches that pass, or if Tashaun Gibson stays with, who is it, Robert Woods, I think, on the deep, no, Cooper Kupp, I think, on the deep post route there later on. It was enough for a lot of us to panic. And I know I got fired up on yesterday's podcast about these safeties just not seeming like they're really in it enough and fired up enough and aggressive and physical and motivated enough. Matt Nagy doesn't see it quite the same way in terms of like energy and want to, but I don't know. I still don't feel like super satisfied with, I don't know if he's nonchalant or if it's just not taking it. He's taking it seriously. It's just, I don't know. I wanted something a little bit more here from Matt Nagy on where his defense was struggling in this game.
Yeah, that's probably what's most frustrating. And our guys know that when they see it on the tape, those are the type of throws that Matthew Stafford is hard enough to play against. And when you give somebody that, when you have somebody that wide open, that's what you don't want. So we got to make sure that we communicate as to the whys, why that happened. But for sure, I mean, those are the ones that we got to eliminate.
Matt, there was such a big buildup for Sean and his impact on this defense. It was, frankly, kind of a letdown for people to see, not just that the defense gave up 34 points, but the way they did. Missed assignments, apparently, missed tackles. Just, it was disappointing. And I'm curious, was that just kind of a rookie game for a coordinator, or what? You know, what happened on those big plays?
There's probably a lot that goes into it, and that's something that I have a lot of faith in Sean and our players in understanding that you go up against a potent offense and a pretty good team like the Rams, you better know, you know, what you're doing on every single play. And Sean's, you know, we got together this morning as a staff and we were, you know, we watched the film and went through different scenarios of the game. And there's some calls when you look through it, just like us as play callers, as everybody, you know, there's some that you want back and that you put on yourself. And then there's others too, where you're like, you know what, this guy could have made a play here or there. And then there's some plays where, like that 4th-and-1 that they had a 4th-and-1 and the bootleg to the right. Matthew made a great throw. It was a great catch. So there's sometimes they're just going to make plays. But overall, I'd say the biggest theme for us would be no panic and just understand that, hey, this was Sean's first game calling and this was our first game of 2021. And we understand that that's not good enough. We know we want to be better. We want to focus on any of the positives that there were. And then, you know, that's why I think we all believe in one another. And now we get another chance this weekend.
The play were like both Gibson and Eddie Jackson failed to touch Jefferson on the ground. I know you call that like a learning lesson, but to a lot of people, that's an inexcusable mistake that anybody in high school knows an NFL player instinctively should do. And I guess the question is, I mean, that seems like a systemic or just an issue from the top that you know, maybe what he's teaching, they're not quite getting. So what kind of a problem is that to you when you see something like that?
I know everybody has their own opinions, and I respect that. I wouldn't agree with that in regards to starting with Sean or you know, I think that's a learning experience, like I said yesterday, to where when that happens, you know, they both tried to, like, nonchalantly tag him. You know what I mean? So it was like it just – you got to do it more aggressively, and you got to make sure that, if anything, you got to hit him. You know what I mean? So don't put any gray in it to where when he gets back up and runs that you didn't touch him. That's probably the biggest thing. And those guys, I'll guarantee you that entire defense will learn from that. And our offensive players will learn from that too. If you're not touched, stand up and run and turn it into a touchdown. So I know that Sean is teaching those guys the right thing to do, and I know that those guys will definitely learn from it.
Definitely what I would call some pointed questioning, maybe aggressive questioning from some of the Bears media there. I think Mark Potash was the one trying to kind of hold his feet to the fire. Maybe that, you know, there's a line there that is always difficult to cross in the moment when you're trying to ask a question and come up with the wording. But regardless, again, I'm kind of stuck a little bit back and forth on this, that, like, Yes. You know, like, we got fired up again on yesterday's podcast about Eddie Jackson and Tashaun Gibson. It's like, when you watch Jalen Ramsey on the other sideline playing his heart out and lining up all over the field and just loving contact and being physical, then you watch Gibson and Jackson not really interested in tackling a guy. You want accountability. You want them to be to put them on the bench, do something to get them fired up and do it. But at the same time, I also see Matt Nagy's point. It's like, he didn't say it in these exact words, but like, they know they messed up, right? I mean, they know what they did was wrong. You don't need to. They're not surprised when you come to them and say, "Hey, you messed up. You shouldn't have allowed a touchdown there." Like, no, duh. They know they should have tackled Van Jefferson, and they know that one of them was supposed to stay with Cooper Kupp on the post route touchdown, right? So it's like, you know, when they're grown veteran adults, they don't need to be like, they don't necessarily always need to be yelled at and reminded and told of what they did wrong, because they do know better and they didn't do it intentionally, right? Maybe it's different when it's like high school or youth football or whatever, and maybe the kid needs to be, like, the actual kid is the key word there, needs to be reminded or taught, or when Matt Nagy calls it a learning opportunity, it is more of a learning opportunity for kids. And that's where the other side of this comes. It's like, it shouldn't need to be a learning opportunity for those guys. And to call it a learning opportunity feels almost like excusing it or allowing it. And I know he's not excusing it or allowing it, but it's like it's too passive. It's like it's not a big enough deal on just how pivotal it was. Like, yeah, we can't have that and we need to be better, but like, where's the meaning behind that? Where's the accountability and the effort behind it, right? That's where I'm really torn on this, because you do treat them like adults, and you don't need to yell at them necessarily, and they know what they did was wrong. And so, you know, they just need to fix it. And if they don't fix it, that's when you yell at it and make a change, right? This was one or two plays in the first game, and it's a new defensive coordinator, and it's new communication, or whatever excuses you want to put on it. It is inexcusable. It does not make up for it. They should be and should be expected to be better than that, and need to meet those expectations, and are not meeting those expectations. And that's where I want the fire. I think that's what it is. I want some fire, more fire from Matt Nagy in that answer, to say, You can still be respectful of the players. You can still support your guys and have their backs, and also be a little bit more fired up and upset. Like, because you don't have to be upset necessarily like at the guy. You can be upset at like the communication. You can make it a third thing, right? It's not like you're mad at Gibson or you're mad at Jackson, but you're mad at the communication. You're mad at the Rams for having a nice play call, or you're mad at, you know, just poor execution in general, without it being like throwing a specific guy under the bus. There's a way to sort of walk that line, and I want something extra to make me feel like things are going to change, right? It's one thing to just say, yeah, we got to be better and do it differently, but like, where's the proof? Where's the evidence? Where's the confidence? I mean, other than just saying, well, they are veterans and they have been better than this before and they should get better and they probably will, and they're not going to give up those kind of broke, busted coverage touchdowns all season. And if they do, then you sure as heck better see some kind of change. And after one game, you know, you don't want to overreact. It still matters a lot, though, and that's the problem, right? One game still matters. Even if you say it's just one game and you can overcome it, it still matters. A loss is a loss. You could be in first place in the NFC North if you win this game, right? It's a tough spot to be in, and I'm really trying not to completely overreact to week one, because things generally do tend to change and get better and evolve as the season goes on, and they're not likely to make the exact same mistakes in the exact same way as the year goes on. So we'll certainly keep close tabs on that, and we'll start reacting even more so appropriately as the season goes on, that way as we get more into more of these games. But I do want to touch on today something a little bit less intense, a little bit less on field base, and something that popped up and kind of went a little viral yesterday with Bears head coach Matt Nagy appearing in an online ad for McDonald's that I thought I was getting fooled by the internet, and still have some questions about it, but we can at least sort of, at the very least, laugh at it next on Locked On Bears. I know with coverages and defense, there's a lot of different moving parts. It's hard for us to really know everything that's going on, but the one place I do know that knows everything going on with moving parts is our friends at rockauto.com. They're a family business that have been serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. They've got everything you could possibly need for your vehicle. The complicated stuff like engine control modules and fuel pump assemblies, to, you know, the stuff we can do, like changing a taillight or motor oil or new carpet. I mean, you name it, they've got it at rockauto.com. So don't waste time going into your town's chain part store and talking to the guy behind the counter who just has to look in the back and find out they don't have it in stock for you anyway and they have to order it. No, cut out the middleman. Don't spend the extra money. Check out rockauto.com right now and see all the low prices available for all the parts available for your vehicle. When you check out, make sure you fill out their box that says, "How did you hear about us?" and write in the words "Locked On" so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another device that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your friends' neighbors' login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle. And it's really a great way to get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch all your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter. And get rid of the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. I didn't think we would ever talk about, like, McDonald's on this podcast in terms of, like, something actually connected to the Chicago Bears, but weird thing on Monday, it's the best way I can describe it. It's like I saw a screenshot posted online of this McDonald's like advertisement, like just like a Facebook ad, a sponsored McDonald's post. It says join Team Chicagoland, you know, and it lists all the benefits of, I guess, working for McDonald's in Chicago. And there's this picture of Matt Nagy smiling in a Bears jacket and a, you know, his Bears B visor. And I legitimately thought when I first saw this that it was some Bears fan who was joking about, well, you know, Matt Nagy's going to get fired and going to have to work at McDonald's because that's the only job he's going to be able to get after coaching the Bears so poorly and losing on Monday night, right? It's like standard, like, haha, kind of good joke. Like, it reminded me, I think part of this is it was fresh in my mind of something I had seen on Twitter earlier on Sunday during the Lions game. There's this guy on Twitter, everyone calls him Biz. When Jeff Okuda, the Lions cornerback, got burned for a couple touchdowns, he tweeted at Jeff Okuda with a picture of an Arby's job application, said, "Hey, bro, you're going to need this after the game." Right, so that was still fresh on my mind when I then saw Matt Nagy in the McDonald's thing, and I was like, oh, okay, this is another like NFL player slash coach doing poorly on game day. Give them an association with a fast food related job. Because there's, you know, that's sort of a stigma of like, you know, fast food is sort of a low paying, dead end job that, you know, isn't viewed as something that you would associate with success. And I don't want to gatekeep employment. People got to work, you got to pay bills. And many people have many successful careers at McDonald's. I enjoy a McDonald's meal every once in a while, right? This is not about McDonald's per se, but it's the association there of Matt Nagy. And it turns out there's actually like a short video of Matt Nagy with the McDonald's thing where he says, you know, I think the line was something like, "I was hired to help you make this great team at McDonald's even greater." It's a recruitment effort for McDonald's in a time where we're seeing, you know, worker shortages across the country, McDonald's trying to find new ways to hire people. And by all means, go, you know, Matt Nagy could be a nice voice to try and incentivize people for Bears fans in Chicago to work for McDonald's. You know, they talk about the, what, you know, this is not going to be a McDonald's ad right here. The McDonald's is not paying me to talk about this by any means. This is just a funny thing that Matt Nagy was in. But, you know, it talked about the incentives for working at McDonald's, and they're building the team with the help of the Bears coach, Matt Nagy. And it just, I don't know, a couple of things strike me there of like, first and foremost, Matt Nagy, get whatever sponsorship money you can get. If McDonald's will pay me to talk about their thing, by all means, McDonald's, please, I will also encourage people to work for you, and I'm never going to blame Matt Nagy for collecting that check wherever he can get it. Absolutely. Also feels like partially a strange partnership there, Bears head coach and McDonald's. But then also I think there's kind of a perception thing here that it just doesn't feel like an amazing look. And again, this is not that McDonald's is a bad company or there's anything wrong with working for McDonald's, but because it's so easily jokeable, right? Because so, like, when you put aside, like, the nice things you can say about McDonald's and Matt Nagy, like, you just have to be, like, aware of the internet and internet culture that this is easily made fun of. And that's something that McDonald's and the Bears and Matt Nagy might have, should have been more cognizant of, for all the reasons we explained at the beginning, right? That's like, having trouble coaching bad, go work fast food, et cetera, et cetera. Like somewhere along the line, somebody should recognize that and say, maybe that's not a great idea for a head coach kind of on the hot seat, or at least under heavy scrutiny by fans and media over the job he's doing here, right? Like, I don't want to make like one-to-one comparisons of like, but like, you know, like if John Fox in 2017 is in a McDonald's ad, or Mark Trestman in 2014, not that Matt Nagy is on those same levels, right? But it just, I don't know, it's different if you're like an established winning head coach that is beloved, and, you know, then it doesn't matter. Go, you know, McDonald's or Burger King or whatever you want to go do, even if it's fast food, whatever, he's allowed to enjoy McDonald's, he's allowed to, you know, do whatever, but it's just something about the optics, that's the word I've been searching for through this whole segment, it's just the optics, even if they're not fair optics, even if there's nothing wrong with it on its surface, the optics kind of below the level, just, it's funny and it's fun to laugh at, but it's also kind of a bad look, and it's just, I don't know, it rubs me the wrong way, and it's just, it's not the right time either, right? You know, if they were successful, and I know they don't coordinate that with, like, how the football team is doing, but even if it's, like, over the summer, after they drafted Justin Fields, and confidence was at a 2-year high for Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace of, like, they got their quarterback and the future is bright. Now we're kind of down on Dalton right now, and the defense getting blown up a little bit this last game, and it's just not quite the right place and the right time or the right company. Because if it had been like Target, if McDonald's is, if Matt Nagy's like, hey, come work at Target, I mean, it still has some of the same, like, you know, retail, it's not, you know, I mean, there's some of that, but I think there's something about McDonald's carrying some kind of stigma that just carries us a little bit further. Again, I have nothing against McDonald's, I eat McDonald's myself, nothing against Matt Nagy getting the bag and getting the sponsorships. It's a funny thing, and we don't always get enough of the brevity surrounding the Bears on this podcast. And so I encourage you to go, if you just Google Matt Nagy McDonald's, it'll come up, and it's just kind of a funny thing to look at. And, you know, then nothing, it doesn't have to be anything bigger than that. But trust me, we'll get back into more of the film breakdowns, the in-depth in-game analysis here all week long right here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So make sure that you subscribe to keep up with all of our daily in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. As we move along into the week, we'll be joined by our friends from Locked On Bengals on our Crossover Thursday podcast to preview our upcoming matchup against the team that beat the Vikings last week. All of a sudden, definitely a more tough matchup on paper now than we maybe thought it was of just a few days ago, so we'll have to get kind of the scoop on what's going on there. Friday's podcast, we'll put together a game plan on how the Bears can beat the Cincinnati Bengals, and then next week again, we'll check in on Fields, Dalton, defense, all the biggest questions around this team and more. So I hope you'll keep tuning in, keep following along throughout this season, because win, lose, or draw, the Locked On Bears podcast is here to help make it just, I think, a little bit easier for you to bear down.